Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 20, Spirit and Flesh in Conflict. Galatians 5, 16-17, W.E.B. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire. End of verses. Now that we've clarified spirit and flesh some, let's look at some verses that emphasize the importance of living by the Spirit or Holy Spirit rather than living by the flesh. John 6:63, W.E.B. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. Galatians 6:7-8, W.E.B. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Romans 13:13-14, W.E.B. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and lustful acts, and not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, for its lusts. 1 Peter 2:11, ESV. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. End of verse. Paul goes into more detail about the conflict between spirit and flesh in his letter to the believers in Rome, and especially in chapters 7 and 8. However, before we focus on those chapters, let's briefly review previous parts of Paul's letter. In Romans 1:1-18, Paul speaks briefly about who Jesus is, Paul's calling as an apostle, and his desire to visit those in Rome. When Paul wrote this letter, he had not yet been to Rome, and he writes that he is eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, Romans 1:15, ESV. So of all Paul's letters in the New Testament, this letter is widely considered to be his most thorough presentation of the good news about Jesus. In Romans 1:19-3:18, Paul talks about the problem of sin and God's righteous judgment, and how these relate to both Gentiles and Jews. In Romans 3:19-4:25, he clarifies that righteousness and salvation come through faith, not by trying to observe various rules and regulations. In Romans 5:1-21, he speaks about the grace that is ours through Jesus' sacrifice for us. Sin and death came into the world through Adam. Righteousness and eternal life are now available to all people through faith in Jesus. In Romans 6:1-23, Paul clarifies that God's grace should result in a righteous life. God's grace should not be used as an excuse to keep on sinning. In order for us to live a righteous life and to be set free from the power of sin, Paul clarifies these important key points to make freedom from sin's dominion a practical reality. Bullet point, we must know that we have been united with Jesus in his death and resurrection, and understand the freedom that is available to us because of this union with Jesus. Romans 6:3-7, ESV. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. End of verses. Bullet point, we must act in faith on that understanding. Romans 6:11, ESV, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. End of verse. The importance of acting in faith on good understanding was previously discussed in chapter 4, Wisdom and Faith. Bullet point, we are to present ourselves to God. Romans 6:13, ESV, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments for righteousness. End of verse. Bullet point, We are to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4 ESV. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. End of verse, end of bullet points. While these verses may appear to be rather straightforward, it is easy for us to continue in sinful habits and patterns. Paul goes on in Romans 7 to share about some of his own struggles with overcoming sin. In chapter 7, Paul focuses on the problem many people have had in trying to stop sinning by using their own strength and willpower. Paul starts out in chapter 7 explaining how the law no longer has authority over us since we died with Christ. Counting Christ's death as our own should set us free from sin's power. Romans 7, 5-6 ESV. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. End of verses. However, in his own life, Paul had at some point fallen into the problem of trying to follow God and be righteous by trying to obey the law in his own strength. Paul found that doing so actually strengthened sin's hold on him. Romans 7, 8-11 ESV. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. End of verses. Paul found that his flesh and sin were still active in his life after becoming a believer, and he had no ability in his own strength to stop sinning. Romans 7, 14-23 ESV. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. End of verses. Paul wanted to do the right thing, but he couldn't do the right thing. His desire to do good is evidence of new life in his spirit through the Holy Spirit. His inability to actually do the good that he wanted to do is evidence of how the flesh and sin are still active after salvation. Paul concludes with a summary of the struggle many believers experience. Romans 7:24-25 ESV. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. End of verses. He saw Jesus as the solution and acknowledges that in his own strength, by his own flesh, he cannot be free from sin. Then in Romans chapter 8, Paul clarifies how to have victory over sin by living according to the Spirit. Romans 8, 1-4, W.E.B. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. End of verses. Walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, implies a life that desires and chooses God's way, a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. Such a life is not achieved by human effort to follow various religious rules, but is based on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, before moving on in Romans, let's backtrack briefly and consider Paul's focus on various laws. The word law can be used in two different ways. First, in a moral or legal sense, law can refer to various rules that people are supposed to follow, whether or not people are naturally inclined to do so, such as the law of Moses. Paul refers to law in this way when he says, "I wouldn't have known sin except through the law," Romans 7:7 WEB. I'll refer to that kind of law as an extrinsic law. Second, law can refer to a principle that is always true, such as the law of gravity. Paul refers to this kind of law when he says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand," Romans 7:21 ESV. I'll refer to this kind of law as an intrinsic law. Extrinsic laws like the law of Moses and various religious rules cannot make us righteous. Their main benefit is to expose our sin and make us aware of our need for salvation. As Paul wrote in Galatians 3:24-25 WEB, "The law has become our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." End of verses. Once we are saved, part of our new life in Christ is that God's law becomes an intrinsic law within us. Jeremiah foretold this when he wrote in Jeremiah 31:33 WEB, also Hebrews 8:10, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." End of verse. Now let's look at some different laws Paul refers to. Romans 7:22-23 ESV, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." End of verses. The law of God in my inner being appears to be the same as the law of my mind. Paul seems to be referring to the law of God as an intrinsic law within him, as foretold by Jeremiah 31:33 above. However, Paul found in regard to his actions that the law of sin was always stronger than the law of my mind. So in his own strength, he could not do the good that he wanted to do. So Paul declares in Romans 7:24 WEB, "What a wretched man I am! Who will deliver me out of the body of this death?" End of verse. Then Paul gives us a solution to the problem of the law of sin. It is another intrinsic law, one that is more powerful than the law of sin. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2 WEB. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death." End of verse. Notice how Paul writes most of Romans 7 in the present tense. I believe he does so to show that the law of sin is always present within us. Only as we walk according to the Spirit does the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overpower the law of sin and deliver us from the power of sin. If we don't walk according to the Spirit, then the law of sin has power over us. Moving on now, Paul clarifies that living according to the Spirit involves setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8:5-8 WEB, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subject to God's law, neither indeed can it be. Those who are in the flesh can't please God." End of verses. Paul then clarifies that living according to the Spirit should be the case with all true believers, since we all have the Holy Spirit living in us. Romans 8, 9-11, WEB, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it is so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." End of verses. Here we see that even after receiving new life through Christ, our body may still be referred to as dead because of sin. However, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. This verse shows how the new life we have in Christ starts in our spirit. Verse 11 shows how that life should be working its way out to our body. Paul then deals with the reality that we can still choose to live after the flesh, even though as believers the Holy Spirit is living in us. Of course, he encourages us not to do that. Romans 8:12-14 WEB. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. End of verses. Paul indicates we have a choice whether or not we will live after the flesh or live after the Spirit. It is our responsibility to, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. If instead we live after the flesh, Paul writes, you must die. Some translations say, you will die. This is one of those controversial verses which people may understand very differently. It may mean that Paul is calling those who still live after the flesh to enter into the death of Jesus in order to stop living after the flesh. Count the death of Jesus as your own death in order to start living after the Spirit. This is what the Spirit calls us to do, and those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. Alternatively, this verse is understood by some to be contrary to the doctrine of once saved, always saved. With this perspective, continuing to willfully live by the flesh will result in a return to spiritual death. Regardless of which perspective may be right, Paul is clearly calling us to a higher life that is led by the Spirit, not living after the flesh. A change from living by the flesh to living by the Spirit does not involve new grace from God, but rather involves entering into a deeper experience of what God has already given us. All of us who are true believers have already been crucified with Christ. We have died with Christ. We have been raised with Christ. We have been born again. We have new life. We have been set free from sin. These are all spiritual blessings from God, which He freely gives to all who trust in Jesus. However, our experience of the fullness of this new life is at least partly dependent on knowing and understanding all these blessings God has given us, acting on them in faith, and not trying to live a righteous life in our own fleshly strength. Rather, we should learn to walk by the Spirit, living by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and we will find that sin no longer has power over us. Discerning the difference between living by the flesh and living by the Spirit is, for many, a difficult subject to understand. It is easy for us to be deceived in this area, to justify our own fleshly attitudes and actions, even thinking them to be spiritual. For example, there is such a thing as righteous anger, and I have sometimes believed my anger to be righteous anger. However, upon further review later, I usually have concluded my anger was fleshly, not righteous, and not spiritual. How do we discern the difference between the flesh and the Spirit in our own lives? Humbly ask God to show you the difference, and don't reject His answer when He does show you. Rather, acknowledge and confess your sins, 1 John 1:9. We all need God to shed His light on us to show us how we really are. This is an area where understanding comes from God, and we ought to ask God for such understanding. Along these lines, I often pray, open my spiritual eyes to see myself as you see me. To summarize, learning the difference between walking by the Spirit and walking by the flesh is an important part of growing to spiritual maturity. Those who are spiritually mature understand the difference between Spirit and flesh and consistently choose to, and delight to, walk by the Spirit. After Paul lists the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in his letter to the believers in Galatia, Galatians 5:19-23, he concludes, Galatians 5:24-25, W.E.B., those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. End of verses. If we belong to Christ, our flesh has been crucified. By being united with Jesus in His death, we are set free from the power of sin. See Romans 6:1-14. Through faith in Jesus, we have new life by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. Since we have new life by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let's depend on the Holy Spirit day by day to walk in victory over sin. For further reflection, in what ways have you experienced the flesh and Spirit in conflict in your own life? A book reference, The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee, a fuller discussion of how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death is found in chapters 9 and 10.